Hello and welcome to Too Much Time on Our Hands. Cinema continues. Time to turn off your mobile phone. Sit back, relax, enjoy three more Pepsi Max adverts, maybe a couple more trailers, maybe an advert for our own brand card, loyalty card, and then eventually the film might start. We're going to talk about three films tonight and maybe a few more, depending on what people have been watching. I personally haven't watched anything though, so, you know, apart from the three films we're about to talk about, we're going to be talking about our experience with Aquaman. We're going to be talking about our experience with Night Swim, which we saw the other day. And then also we're going to go back and spend a bit more time on Saltburn. To do this, we're the usual lot. We have Terry. Terry, how are you doing, buddy?
I'm all right, mate. How are you?
Not too bad. Not too bad. We got Steve. Steve, how's it going?
Hello. Nice to see you again.
Good to see you too, man. And we got Dan. Dan, how's it going?
I'm a bit perturbed at the moment because I've dropped a little bit of a model I was making. Right, pause the record.
So yeah, you've got my full attention.
I thought you were gonna say the bathwater had run out before I had a chance to have a good slurp. just so you know, if you've not seen any of these films, I think we're going to be getting to spoiler territory, but we'll give you warnings before we
Damn,
do get into spoilers.
Straight we are.
Yeah, so like we'll do the non-spoilery part. And then we'll do the spoilery part of each film, I think. It's going to be the way to go. So let's start with Aquaman. Steve, you didn't come to this. Would you like us to describe Aquaman to you?
Yeah, I don't care if you spoil it. I'm going to go sit next week with Oscar, but I genuinely not bother if you spoil it for me, honestly. It's not like...
He breathes I'm underwater.
He talks to fishes, isn't it?
Spoil it.
He fucks so many fishes in this one.
Oh, man.
So many. It's just non-stop fish fucking, actually.
It's unreal. Porn.
Yeah. One thing we won't be doing is expressing an opinion either way on the Amber Heard, Johnny Depp situation, but she will get a mention in this review of Aquaman at the same time.
She'll probably get longer in the podcast than she will
in the film. Yes. So, for starters... I mean, let's just get general opinions on the film. Terry.
Absolutely ludicrous, but I loved it. It just knew what it was. It led into it from the get-go with the hilarious montage of like, oh yeah, I got married and I'm a father and we don't see Amber Heard at all.
There's a whole bit about how hard it is being a single parent. Like, you're there.
You're not a single dad.
You're not. She's been around the whole time.
She's just upstairs.
It reeks of we don't know what to do, like with this situation. Like they filmed like loads of scenes and they lost track of the ones they'd put in and what they were actually going to do with it.
Well, I think based on the finale, they obviously filmed a lot because there were so many reshoots and bollocks with this film, weren't they? I think they'd filmed it and then they've gone, right, we need to cut it out now because she's been shitting in beds. And they've cut her out of the beginning because they can't cut her out of the end because it would cost too much money to reshoot the big battle at the end. So they've just cut her out everywhere else. So yeah, she doesn't appear until about 10 minutes in.
Yeah, they couldn't possibly enter Dolph Lundgren's wig money. So yeah. Dan, what did you think of the film?
I didn't see the first Aquaman film.
Yeah.
But I didn't think that really mattered, to be honest.
No.
The film even does a whole recap at the beginning of like everything that happened. But even if he hadn't, I could have put, you know, I could have worked out, I think. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was like silly, disposable movie. You know, I didn't mind watching it. If it comes on the telly or something, I probably would watch it again.
Same. I quite enjoy the trope of the bad guy in the first one's now the good guy as well. I'm quite a fan of that when it comes to sequels. So,
he's been hanging around with Vin Diesel, isn't he?
So. Yeah. That's a very good point, yeah. And I thought Black Manta was pretty cool as well, as a villain.
Yeah, I really like Yaha Abdul Mateen, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. In general, just a really fun, stupid film. Like, it almost felt at the start like a showreel hey, here's Jason Momoa. He's on a motorbike. Doesn't he look good on a motorbike? If only he could
putting
just ride
donuts
a motorbike
around his father and his infant son on a beach.
Whose father is Boba Fett? But it felt like, hey, didn't it look good on a motorbike? Wouldn't he look good on a motorbike just riding that through space? You know, just saying. Like, he is apparently going to be in the next DC universe, whatever that may be. But not as Aquaman, is what they've said, I think. I might be wrong.
Lobo.
Lobo's the rumor.
He
wanted
Lobo before Aquaman, didn't he? Yeah. He sort of met with them for Lobo and ended up being Aquaman. So
yeah, Lobo is
Lobo would be awesome. I think he'd look the part.
Yeah, looks the part. I think he's charismatic enough as well. That's the other thing that came across in this film was that Jason Momoa is a bona fide action hero now, as well.
Yeah, yeah. I particularly like the stuff at the beginning where they really kind of lent into the fact that Aquaman kind of has crap powers.
Yeah, yes.
Like he kind of more or less says, "Yeah, I can talk to fish.
Yeah,
and I can swim and stuff." You know.
It's almost
it's like a joke power set that's only really good for like one area, and that's just like anything to do with water.
It's good though. Like, and I quite like the set pieces. I thought they were generally quite good. Some of them didn't make any sense. Some of them were hard to get to, but like I thought, still fun with a giant people eating plants and stuff like that. And I like the fact that it just ripped off about three or four different franchises as well. So there's
so
some
blatantly
there's
well.
Some Lord of the Rings moments in there. There's some Star Wars moments in there, and the ending's pretty much Moana. So it's generally quite good. I quite enjoyed it. So it's stupid, but good fun.
No, exactly. You know what you were getting from it. It wasn't dark like the rest of the DCU up to that point had been.
No,
bright and breezy.
Well, Flash was dark in places, wasn't it? Thinking about it, like Flash. I watched The Flash at a really difficult time, so I found The Flash really difficult to watch. I really enjoyed it, and I didn't really give a fuck about the CGI, but it was a difficult watch as well. I thought they tapped into emotion quite nicely in that one. But the intro with the fucking babies falling out the hospital was hilarious.
As good as the intro to Aquaman.
No, you thought Aquaman's intro was better?
Yeah.
Oh, I know. I that Flash intro kind of got me. But like, if they're using that as like a test for how silly we kind of want these DC films, maybe around that, but maybe a little less silly.
I don't think. I mean, I think the films are when DC films come out with like the James Gunn stuff. I think they can do all kinds of like tones, really.
Yeah, I agree.
Depending on the source material. But, yep.
Yeah. I'd like a bit more story, if I'm honest with you.
Yeah.
Cohesive story.
Yeah, I agree. It's got to have something, doesn't it? So, but yeah. So Aquaman, all round, generally quite good, I thought.
Yeah, no, so I'd happily watch it again.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah, definitely worth a watch. Yeah,
I'm going to see it next weekend. So,
yeah, definitely. Maybe if the DCEU had a bit more of this early on, it might not have been so turgid.
Yeah, it would have had more legs, I think, to carry on.
It was the same when the first Aquaman came out. It was actually like, oh, wow, look, they're actually having fun in this film.
Yeah.
Compared to everything up to that point.
Yeah.
I quite enjoyed the first Aquaman film.
Yeah, me too.
That's what I mean.
It's fine.
I really enjoyed it. It was different from everything else.
It's a good film.
And I remember
the scene where actually I saw Amber Heard for the first time. I think I fell in love.
Mm.
If only you knew then.
Yeah.
Chicken shit in my bed.
Just quickly, Nicole Kidman is still a wonderful, wonderful human being. And also, Dolph Lundgren is distracting in this film.
Dolph Lundgren looks like he's playing Man of War from... Is it Man of War from... Oh, no, Man at Arms? From
Man at Arms from He-Man.
That's what he looked like?
He did look like Man at Arms.
That's exactly what he looks like, yeah.
He also looked like he didn't know what he... like. He could have. They could have told him, like, you're on Rocky 3 right now. He just looked like he didn't know what set he was on.
What's with the hair, then?
If he dies, he dies.
I think half the budget went on trying to make the hair look floaty as well in this one. That seemed to be...
There did seem to be a lot more of that in this one.
Floaty hair work, though.
It looked really good, to be fair, yeah. I will watch Randall Park in pretty much anything as well. I love that guy.
I mean, he was Mr. Exposition in this film, wasn't he?
He was, but it kind of suits him. Like, that, I think, is a perfect role for him. He was essentially a very similar character that he was from, like, not so much WandaVision, but more Ant-Man.
Mm.
But yeah, so the last three DC films have been Blue Beetle, which I really liked, have been Aquaman and The Flash. And I've quite liked all three of them. I think they're all good.
I'm sorry. I haven't seen Blue Beetle.
It's good. It's fine.
Yeah, they're all in that kind of same bracket.
Yeah.
Of, you know, like just fun, easy to watch movies.
Yeah.
Not enough to save Zack Snyder's vision, though, is it?
I don't think any of this was Zack Snyder's vision.
Yeah.
Like, this is far too silly. Yeah.
Yeah.
His vision seems to be 4-hour films that don't really go anywhere.
But did you see his comments about superhero movies where he said that I understand people getting fatigued? Like, people want to go in, people don't necessarily want to go into a film and think, oh, this is just part one of blah, blah, blah. The man who just released part one, a literal part one.
Yeah.
Of a new franchise.
And released a 4-hour superhero film that had already been released. And admittedly, was worse. The Joss Whedon one was worse. But his one wasn't brilliant either.
No.
It was only better in comparison. Had that come out on its own, it would have been meh.
Yeah. So yeah, do we want to give ratings for this? Do we want to do a letterbox kind of like...
I gave it 3 out of 5 on Letterboxd.
I think that's fair. 3 out of 5 is pretty solid.
For me... I don't know if you guys have ever listened to the Empire podcast, but when they do reviews, they say 3 is a recommendation. Like, you should watch this film. Not an excellent recommendation, but 3 and above is, it's a good film. Watch it.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. So I'll
happily watch it again.
I'll give it 3. Yeah. Dan?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd give it a 3 out of 5. Wait till it comes on a streaming service or something. Don't pay for it.
No, unless you've got a Cineworld card, in which case go see every fucking film you can.
It's fun.
Yeah. I think it's I think it's like the very definition of a 3 out of 5 film.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, a film that might not be a 3 out of 5. We all went a couple of nights ago to see the movie Night Swim. I'd love to say it's not about a killer swimming pool, but that's pretty much what it's about.
Like a genie swimming pool, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
It's like the pool is the
spoilers.
Lamp.
We're going to go full spoilers.
A monkey pool of swimming pools.
Yeah.
Full spoilers on this one.
Oh, fuck yeah.
I mean, yeah, because there's not really much there to spoil, really.
No, because the trailer...
There's not a lot to talk about if we don't.
Yeah, because otherwise it is just a killer swimming pool film.
Because I'd be like telling my mum about it like, the next morning. She'd get, like, whenever I go to see a film, like when I drive her to work in the morning, she's always asking, you know, what was the film I saw and what it's about, and I just burst out laughing and I tried to tell her like the premise. Just like, yeah,
so
it's about an evil swimming pool.
Let's
that
try and
kills
cobble,
people.
Let's try and cobble together what the premise is, because we should have done that with Aquaman as well, maybe. But the premise essentially is a family who are a bit down on their luck with things that have gone wrong, including a baseball player who has discovered he's got an illness which is going to be detrimental to both his health and his career. Find a house they want to move into, where it's mentioned that he needs to do water therapy. And this house just happens to have a swimming pool, and he kind of falls in and he has a moment with the swimming pool.
He falls in and almost drowns in the swimming pool.
Yeah.
He communes with it, though, doesn't he? Yeah.
And then suddenly he's in love with it.
Yeah.
Because actually, just while we're on that bit, and I don't know if this was me overthinking it. He falls in trying to get a baseball, right? Because he's a baseball player, so he obviously can't leave a baseball.
Yeah.
Is that baseball the baseball that he signs later?
Yeah, that's what I figured, yeah.
Yeah. So it's like an endless loop. He lured himself into the pool.
I think it is that. I don't think anyone put any thought into how the baseball might have got there.
Yeah.
That's my general thought.
Like the boat keeps popping up throughout and the girl's slipper pops up throughout, doesn't it? So I feel like it sort of almost like takes a totem from the person, but how it managed to take his totem from the future.
To finish the synopsis for this film, essentially, because other than that, it's kind of spoilerific. They move in, the swimming pool has bad shit going on. And from then on, craziness and unpleasantness kind of ensues. Yeah. Synopsis over.
So it's about an evil swimming pool.
It's about an evil swimming pool. It is genuinely about an evil swimming pool.
But in its evilness, and grant it does wishes. Heal. It heals the man. It heals him and makes him better with his three swims a day or whatever.
Spoilers from here on. Definitely spoilers from here on. Yeah. So essentially, what happens with the swimming pool is it grants you one wish, grants one person one wish, but you've got to pay for that wish.
Yeah.
It is essentially, you've got to pay the troll toll and see if you want to get into this boy's soul. But yeah, you get something that you've always wanted, something like massive. In his case, it cures his MS. But it wants to take his son.
Well, it seems to be want to take anyone, really.
Yeah, it's just
like, it wants his
picky.
Life.
Yeah.
He isn't picky. Though, or it is a bit picky because it takes a cat, and that wasn't enough.
No.
Well, the cat sort of got it started, I think, wasn't it? Gave him a little taster.
I think the cat's just there to lure in the kid.
Cat fucking deserved it.
Why'd the cat deserve it, Steve?
Cat didn't deserve it, you bastard.
I knew I'd get a bite from Dan.
Fuck you.
The pool does attempt to take every family member, and then I think it just realizes that the son's probably the easier one.
Yeah,
because the dad clearly doesn't like his son. Thinks he's weird.
Do you know what I think is confusing? So there's a bit where the pool shows the girl that drowns at the start of the film, right?
Mm.
And there's a bit where the kid tries to get his action figure back, and it's the girl trying to grab him, essentially.
Well,
right?
It's the girl, and then it becomes whatever the thing
it
is.
Becomes that strange bald man.
Yeah. But she's clearly luring him in. And then at the end of the film, she's the one that shows them the way to go.
Well, or is she trying to give him his figure back before Baldy turns up? Is she trying to get him out of the... Like, here's your figure, get out of the pool, yeah.
Before he arrives,
and then he arrives.
She grabs his arm, though, doesn't she?
Yeah, she does.
No, she doesn't. Once the arm grab happens, that becomes Baldy.
Mm. Yeah.
Oh.
Okay. It seems like there's stuff in there that needs to be explained. Not necessarily, like, definitely, but
I feel like
the boat
was cut quite a lot.
The boat is explained
because it was her favorite toy.
It was, yeah.
It seems,
and that's
like
she goes down to get it.
Quite a lot of it is actually bollocks that they've just kind of thrown in there and hope we don't look into too much.
I feel like there's a lot been cut out. I feel like there was a lot more of the father son story.
Do you not think a lot of it was just like cool set pieces they were hoping that no one's going to look into too much? Like,
probably, yeah.
That's kind of what I thought it was. I didn't think it was like...
It's based off a 4-minute short, which is basically a woman in a swimming pool being haunted by a small child. So they've obviously, like we said, they've had that and then they've gone backwards to work.
Let's make a whole film out of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think a 4-minute short would probably be enough for what it is.
Yeah, I agree. I think 4 minutes is perfect.
It's about all you're going to get out of an evil swimming pool, because realistically, once you know a swimming pool's evil, you just don't go in it.
Just don't go in the fucking pool. Like, and they kept going in there. Like, when he goes, I think we should have a pool party, and the rest of his family's just like, no fucking way. No fucking way we're having a fucking pool party.
None of them will get in the pool, but they'll let everyone else from the neighbourhood get in.
They'll let him get in there with someone else's kid. Like... Steroid Shrek's a great line in that, though. I enjoyed that.
Even the ending was bollocks, right? When it ends with them sort of filling it with mud, like, if this pool's supposed to be possessed and all this sort of stuff, that's not going to do anything.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't really the pool, though, was it? It was the water. Because, like they said, like, there was a spring here before. It's a natural spring swimming pool.
So, like, in theory, there could be other houses in that street that also have a swimming pool. That would use that same.
Or they fill it in, spring. And then a puddle rises to the top, and the puddle becomes the.
Yeah. But like, if it's a spring, other houses could have a swimming pool and have the same problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, true.
You know.
Maybe they're building like a franchise.
Unless the Baldy's trapped in like the filtration system of that particular swimming pool.
Yeah.
It seemed to want to come up. It was like a spring, wasn't it? But I get the feeling it was a spring that came up in that one specific place.
Yeah, the house has been built around it, I think, hadn't they?
Yeah, everything else I don't think they thought about, if I'm honest with you. Like, I genuinely don't think they put too much effort into thinking about this film. Like, I think they had a premise for a film and then just went, what would look cool in this film?
I think they put a commendable amount of effort into it because there's only so much you can do with this idea.
They kept they really, like, coming
they
up
really
with
padded it out, didn't
yeah,
they?
For like, you know, why they should go back to the pool.
Yeah.
That no, water therapy must really be working, huh?
Yeah, he just seemed funny every time he's like, oh, I really like that pool. I'm just, you know, anytime they went anywhere, it's like he was thinking about the pool.
Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't just do very weird. Well, like hiding like his essential possession, I guess.
Yeah.
I suppose it was like, then, it was like The Shining, but the swimming pool.
Yeah, and then crap. The bit I sort of liked, but also raises more questions, is when she goes to, so obviously it opens with a young girl dying like in 1992 or something, or disappearing in the pool, and she goes to find that family to find out what happened. And it essentially is like this Chinese family moved in and sacrificed their daughter for their son to get better. But like the waters like followed her.
Yeah,
she's
I
got
don't.
Like a
I,
little
that
fountain
was bollocks
that,
as well. It was just
like the water's in her system and attacks her when she tries to tell her what's going on.
Yeah, and
I don't
it
know.
Caused her to overpour a glass of water for no reason whatsoever.
I guess because they kept showing that that fountain she's got and the water coming out of it, and I just wondered, is that fountain maybe linked to the same spring?
Or maybe she
maybe
took a jug, a gallon
yeah,
of water
I was
with
say,
her.
I thought that maybe she took a bit of water with her while I was watching it.
They don't explain any of it though.
No.
Like it's
I
all
feel
bollocks.
Like this had like a 4-hour cut or something that was just utter shit, but explained everything.
I genuinely don't think they thought that much. I think they went, this will look cool. This will look cool. Every fucking horror film starts with, oh, it's the upside down shot slowly turning around now. Thank you, Hereditary, for that one, by the way. Fucking hell. That's every fucking horror film.
That said, though, I did like the bit in this film where she swam down to save the son and she gets turned around and she can't work out what's going on.
And then
and
the girl saves her.
The girl appears and drops the coin and it floats upwards. And then they realize that actually she's facing the wrong way. I thought that was quite a cool bit.
100% my favorite bit in the film, except for the pool cleaner. Actually, the pool cleaner was my favorite bit.
Oh, yeah.
In the film. Yeah, he was funny.
Yeah, that was like the best written. The pool cleaner was probably the best written bit of exposition in the film.
Yeah.
Because the other bit of exposition was just awful. Like Terry was saying about the end with that when they have to wrap the film up quickly and they're filling that pool in, and the family just had that really on the nose, like terrible bit of dialogue where it's like going, oh, we can't move out because someone else might come and move in here. So we'll just bury it.
We shall be guardians of the pool.
Yeah, it was just really clunky, horrible dialogue.
Why in every horror film does someone have to go and investigate what happened now? Like, it is the laziest fucking thing in the world because it's the only way of getting... Look, they're in a library, which means they're going to read everything you need to know about for this film now. Or they've
gone
she didn't
go to the library.
Yeah.
She just went on the internet. She went on Google.
Yeah.
Which is what you can do nowadays.
Yeah, true. That's a good point.
Yeah,
yeah.
Dan.
Sorry.
I think as well, the ending, like I think I said before when we came out, that like there's a lot of horror films where if someone's possessed or there's evil this, evil that. So many horror films these days normally tend to have that ending where the spirit's released or the possession's ended or the curse is ended. Like, that's the only thing I thought, well, maybe the ending's going to end with this, the family's going to break the curse in the pool, but it didn't. Like, which is that was probably the only thing where I'd be like, oh, okay, fair enough. That obviously, I don't want to spoil the whole film, but people are going to watch it. But like,
we've spoiled it already.
Yeah, we've been through the whole
obviously
film.
Obviously, the dad sacrificed himself to save his son, basically. But like, you know where I'm coming from. There's a lot of possession films and curse films where you find that by the end of the film that the chosen family in the film have broken the curse or they've stopped the continuation of whatever happened. I generally thought that's how it was going to end, with the family finally breaking the curse of the sacrifice into the pool, but it didn't, which I'd probably say was a bit of a pleasant surprise. Probably only saving grace, but a bit what made me think, oh, okay, fair enough, I didn't go where I thought they were going to go. I think I did mention that coming out of the cinema. I can't remember if I did or not. But
I think the only thing with that is normally in film one that happens, and then the first 30 seconds of film two is, oh no, that they didn't, and they will get murdered. Whereas this one, they just we'll just leave it open for sequels.
Well, that's why I like The Exorcist Believer so much. They said it. They set up the second film like off straight off the bat of the first one. So
that's out on Blu-ray now. I saw it the other day.
Yeah,
I'm not going to spend 15 quid in it though. But...
No.
Dan, what would you rather rewatch, Exorcist Believer or Night Swim?
Night Swim, no question.
Really? Like, is Exorcist Believer not like entertainingly bad?
No,
no,
okay.
It's just bad. Like, it's. I was thinking about the worst films I've seen at the cinema, and that is actually in the running.
Yeah, I mean, looks like the Night Swim did get a couple of laughs out of us.
It did,
not intentionally, not by its own.
Yeah, I don't think it was intended. Yeah.
Wyatt Russell's performance was quite funny in places, but I don't think he meant it.
Yeah.
No.
They put too many attempts at like jump scares in this film as well. There was a lot of unnecessary like, they're supposed to make you jump, but it obviously didn't make any of us jump. But I'm trying to say, I think they overdone some of those jump scares a bit too much. If someone went in there who's petrified of any horror film, they would have spent the whole film fucking jigging. But like
the couple when we saw Exorcist Believer down with the guy on his phone because he couldn't look at the screen. He was that scared.
To be fair, I don't blame him. I couldn't look at the fucking screen either. But yeah, it's just flickering lights. It's kind of overdone, isn't it?
Yeah, especially because it's just like that. Oh, here it comes.
Mm. Like I kind of think if the lights just went out, that would be scarier.
I think it'd be scary if the lights stayed on.
Yeah,
but actually, like having it. Or even if it was in the day. This is the thing, like horror films happen because like Paranormal Activity, you know what's coming because it fast forwards and then it stops. You're like, okay, there's something about to come. So if it is just, obviously there is some bits in the daytime in this, but I just think, any signals that something's coming. I mean, I guess it sets the anticipation and half the thing is the anticipation,
I think they missed an opportunity, which is bird's eye shot of the swimming pool. And the brown muck coming out of the filter and just filling up the swimming pool as the person's in it. It's a bit like, you've seen The Endless, haven't you? The bit where they're in the middle of the lake and you see like whatever's under the fucking lake coming up. Really, really cool. I think you could have done something better with that.
Well, they had it coming out a few times, didn't they? Just not completely.
Also, they didn't really explain what was going on. Is the brown muck the thing? Or is it just like an offshoot? It's just brown muck just come out when it feels like...
I think the brown muck was just showing that it was like properly from the spring, I guess. Or it was just to differentiate, like, here comes some spooky water, not just normal spring water.
Yeah. Felt incredibly underthought about. Like, they just...
Yeah, and like, the thing itself, what did just look like a really badly CGI'd bald man with very prominent eyes. You could have done something a bit more. Although, to be fair, I'm sick and tired of films where it's some like really weird, pointy, horrible thing. Yeah. At least they sort of kept it vaguely human.
Yeah, but at least it wasn't a smile.
The less you saw of it, the better it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it started off interesting enough because I didn't know what was going to happen or what it's going to be about exactly.
Yeah.
But yeah, the minute you start seeing too much of it, when they started showing too much of that scary, that guy, it wasn't really, didn't really work. And there was no explanation of who that guy was, and as you kind of see later on, there's just loads of people down there.
That was all the victims, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That's the victims of the spring up to that point, which it would have been because there was when the little girl's in the pool at the beginning, she sees lots of people around the pool. And I like at the watching it, I was like, oh, it's like people coming to get her. But it was just like they were just coming to watch or something. But then at the end, the climax of this film, they're all in the water with them. So it doesn't even stay true to itself, really.
Never really explained why people saw their family members.
Yeah, the wife saw them. But then that doesn't make sense.
No, because both times the girl, when she goes in the water, she sees her mum. And when the woman's in the water, she saw the husband. Mm. And those were the people who had, they were the ones who were kind of getting their wish granted, weren't they?
Mm. Well, no, because... the son was technically getting his wish granted, wasn't he? Because he was getting his health. Or was it the mum's wish?
No, it was the mum's wish for the son to be better and for the daughter to die.
Of course. Right, okay, I'm with you now.
Yeah.
That makes more sense.
Yeah, it makes way more sense. It's definitely such a great film now.
That makes more sense than why was he there when it was the son who was the cursed one, but he wasn't cursed.
Yeah. No, he wasn't.
That was all shit as well. In America, they play that Marco Polo game.
Yeah.
And then at the end, when he's possessed, he's looking for his daughter, and he's like, Marco, Marco. And then he says that line, you're supposed to say polo.
Yeah.
But the way he delivered it, like, he thought it was going to be that, like, catch, that sort of, like, tagline of the film. That's going to be the line that everyone's talking about. But
it's the new Here's Johnny. Yeah.
Yeah, it made me laugh. Yeah. I thought to myself, like, you're supposed to say polo. I thought to myself, they clearly put it in there thinking that was good. Yeah, like the new here, that sort of like line that everyone's gonna remember for the film. It was so shitly done as well. Like it just it made it seem more cheesier than what it should have been, if you know.
The recording has stopped. The disk space is insufficient. It's recording though, so stop it. Yeah, so that's Night Swim pretty much. Anything else you want to add about this film?
I was going to say something. I can't remember what it was now.
It was under 2 hours. Let's be positive.
I'll never watch it again.
Yeah.
Also, actually, what I'd say is that what the film was missing, like linking on from what Terry said about the dad in that line, was that like it did need someone like Jack Nicholson to be able to carry the film, like the dad,
or
wasn't...
maybe like Kurt Russell instead of Wyatt Russell,
instead of Nepo baby.
Yeah, like he doesn't really have the I don't think he doesn't really have the chops to kind of be like sinister in the way that you need to be for that film, for that character.
It's such a shame
because
his episode of Black Mirror is one of the best ones.
It's the only episode I haven't watched.
Is it really?
Very it's creepy, his episode.
And it's got big spiders in it, so I don't watch it.
Oh, it has got spiders in it, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I haven't watched a new series. I kind of liked it to tell the other day, but cinema, the last Black Mirror I watched was Bandersnatch. I actually haven't watched any of the new stuff.
Yeah, Bandersnatch was good, though, as well.
The only one I haven't watched is the one, that one, because someone said to me, if you don't like spiders, do not watch that episode.
Dan, have you watched that episode?
Probably not. Which
With
one is
Wyatt
it?
Russell. It's the one where he goes to test, to be a game tester for a video game company. And he's testing this new form of like VR that actually is implanted in his brain. And it essentially becomes like horror games, like in his head, and it becomes too much. But it's also an homage to a load of different horror games. And there's a bit where he won't go in the room and he's standing outside the room. And then the voice goes, "Would you kindly go in the room?" And he walks into the room. It's that nerdy. It's got a reference to fucking BioShock in there. And I really, really, really loved that. Great episode, I thought. There's like Resident Evil references in there, Silent Hill references in it. Really, because Charlie Brooker's a massive game nerd.
Yeah. I won't watch Black Mirror, though.
It is quite dreary.
Yeah.
It's never
like my
happy.
Mental health, thanks to...
Yeah, Shut Up and Dance, for example, is, yeah, not
yeah, that was horrible, that episode. Yeah.
Is that when we find out he's a nonce at the end?
Yes. Much like a popular TV series.
No. This is not a joke for this podcast.
Epstein.
Yeah. Was he on the list?
I quite liked that episode. I mean, not for reasons you think, but like...
Because Watford Town Centre was in it.
Well, no, I just think to myself the revelation at the end, I thought I did not see that coming. Like,
it's a great twist.
I wouldn't say it's my favorite episode of it, but I'd definitely say it's up there as one of my favorite episodes.
San Junipero, I'm a simp like everyone else. San Junipero is my favorite.
San Junipero is like best
one. Yeah, that's brilliant.
Which one's that again?
The one with the two
like
women
virtual
that go to the
afterlife.
Nightclub.
That was good.
It's fucking great, that one. And there's another one I really
the Star
like
Trek
well.
esque one I liked as well. That was really good. That was a fantastic episode.
That was good.
Yeah. The one that I found really annoying was one where I can't remember who's in it now. Is it Bryce Dallas Howard? No.
I love that episode.
The Instagram one.
Yeah.
When you basically get rated on based on how you interact with it. Which is, I think, the reason why I hate it so much. I don't hate it, I found it annoying because it's so true in life, like how people are influenced by, you know, ratings and popularity. And
I love how much she just doesn't give a shit by the end of it as well. So good.
Yeah, your Twitter's come back to bite you in the ass, isn't it, Steve?
Well, you know, it's not for everyone, Terry. It's not for everyone. But you know what? 14 years actually yesterday I've been on Twitter. You know, it's probably the longest I've committed to anything, but that's fine.
Should we talk about Saltburn for a bit? Like, I figure we mentioned
let's cheer ourselves up.
Mentioned it in the top 10. But I don't know about anyone else, but this film won't leave me. Like, I can't
stop thinking
about it. It
literally won't, because it's all over TikTok. It's all over Instagram. Yeah. It's everywhere you fucking look.
I said on the pod that this was one of the greatest potential moves they could have done, which is putting it on fucking Amazon Prime over Christmas. Because everyone fucking watched this film.
My favorite video is people filming people watching it.
Yeah.
There's one where this guy is literally just like,
yeah.
They film and watch like the bath scene.
Yeah, the him drinking his cummy bathwater. Yeah.
And the on the Golden Globes red carpet, they were getting people to hold Jake and Elorby bathwater candles.
He's a very attractive man, by the way.
I'd never heard of him before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Apparently, he was like he was in the runnings to be Superman.
I could have seen that as well. Yeah. I think it'd been quite good.
Yeah, it would have been good.
Instead, he's going to play Frankenstein's monster. Is that right? Yeah,
he is. Yeah, and he's Elvis in the Sofia Coppola film as well.
And he's meant to be very good in it as well. So
we did another Elvis film.
Yeah,
but no, it's about Priscilla, but he plays Elvis in it.
Yeah,
well, I haven't seen Elvis actually. Too
fucking shit.
I thought it was distinctly okay, but yeah,
I thought other than the music, but they just don't. Like, at least Bohemian Rhapsody, they went a bit ropey with the story. Let's just throw the fucking songs at it. They didn't do that with Elvis.
What a film. Well, everyone I know has seen it, so it's more about that Parker character, not really about Elvis. Yeah. So, like, you know, I like Elvis.
Best Elvis
like
film is Bubba Hotep.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, I love Bubba
fucking
Hotep.
Fucking love Bubba Hotep. That is a cracking
what
film.
What a film.
Yeah. Oh, that's a great film.
Bruce Campbell as Elvis. in a nursing home.
Yeah.
Is it JFK he's with as well?
Yeah. It's like, yeah.
And black. They died in black. Yeah. They died in black.
Oh, that
I
film's
need to watch
great.
That film.
That's so good.
So Saltburn.
Saltburn, yeah. So for starters, everyone now knows the grave fucking scene is improvised.
Yep.
Which is hilarious to me.
Really?
Yep. Can you imagine filming it and going, right, so you've just seen him die. What do you want to do? Okay, Barry, what
I'm
are you doing?
Fuck the shit out.
I'm
going
to get naked.
So, yeah.
Did you think Jackie just goes, just say cut when you start feeling uncomfortable? And then he just keeps going and keeps going and they don't.
Everyone's going, this would be great for the bloopers. And then the director's like, I like it.
For starts, the soundtrack's fucking incredible. The more I hear of the soundtrack.
Soundtrack is very, very good.
I think because it's set around that time where I was really into that music. Yeah.
I think it's weirdly a film that loads of people can be nostalgic about as well. I think that's why it's popular. Like, people that were 5 or 6 in 2006 remember
it's recent
of
nostalgia,
it. Yeah.
Isn't it? It's not like 80s.
And, you know, people our age were in our 20s at the time. Yeah, 20s, yeah.
We're saying we're in our 20s now.
Speak for yourself, you bunch of old farts.
Why, how old are you?
Younger than you lot.
By about 2 years, isn't it?
Oh, fuck you. You look older, though.
So I'm not anyone that's got no hair. No, I'm 36. I'd have been 18 around that time. So it'd have been my kind of like, going out drinking,
beer,
gelling your hair.
Gelling my arm in those days. VO5 mega hold. God, those were the days, weren't they?
I know exactly. It's crazy that I know exactly what you're talking about. Like, when you said that, a smell entered the room. Like a really distinct smell. Like a tangy, like citrusy kind of,
Did you use your short hair, Dan?
Huh? Yeah.
But back in that time, would you have had like a short back and sides that you were gelling up and...
Not then. I think I was growing it at that point. Like, it was probably just over my ears, though, where it wasn't that long. Not as long as it is now.
Because I've never known you with short hair. No, other than that bob you had for a while where you got it cut too short.
Yeah, well, that happened a lot, to be fair.
When you had a Terry Hatcher bob.
Yeah, that's a perfect description, actually. Wow. There, Dan, yeah.
Dean Kane kept arriving. Fuck off, Dean.
Oh, Dean K would have arrived in Terry Hatcher, wouldn't he? Given half
more than
chance.
Once
just spouting his right wing views as he's doing it. What the fuck happened to him and Kevin Sorbo, like, that's turned them like that?
I think they were always like that. Maybe
maybe the tax man came for a little bit too much of their money that they now don't have. Saltburn then. Yeah, I just kind of wanted to spend another 10-15 minutes talking about it, really. It has really stuck with me, and I don't really know why. Like,
I think it's just one of those, because it was so understated. I mean, like talking about Aquaman, talking about Night Swim, they're over the top, they're ridiculous. Whereas this, I think me and you, Dan, we both came away from the first viewing just being like, oh, it had this ambition, it didn't really hit it. But it's obviously just been this slow burn that just gets under your skin.
Yeah.
And then as you think back and you think, because like reading up on it, there's loads of like layers in there, isn't there? Like about the Minotaur's maze and stuff like that. And it's
the
all
doppelgangers.
The doppelgangers, it's all signposted.
Yeah.
So it's just like maybe me and you, when we first watched it, we were watching it as like, oh, it's just some like we both had ideas of what a twist might come. But then, yeah, it's actually much cleverer than we thought it was. It was too clever for us, Dan, basically.
Yeah.
And we're just slowly peeling back the onions.
I didn't want to like it at first. I'm just seeing the trailer and everything. And then, but like, I really, when I was watching it, in spite of myself, I was like getting into it and enjoying it. And yeah, I did find it like pretty interesting and did find some of the visuals pretty cool as well, like the doppelganger stuff. Yeah. Like when they're talking about the doppelgangers. But then at the same time, you've got like Barry Keoghan's character. Actually, you can see him in the mirror at the same time. So it's kind of like a doppelganger with him.
Yeah.
Kind of hinting what is kind of going on there. Because we've seen his reflection. Apparently in that scene, I didn't notice it at the time, but you actually see someone walk past outside and it is like meant to be him, like Felix.
Yeah.
I didn't notice that. That's pretty cool. Yeah, and it was giving me, the whole time was giving me kind of Talented Mr. Ripley vibes.
Yeah.
But, you know, it like certain things did start to occurring to me as I was watching the movie, that these people, because of their wealth and their opulence, they do let their guard down and can be taken advantage of.
Yeah.
Because they kind of think that their wealth
untouchable
makes them untouchable. And
have you seen the there's a current trend as well with rich people dancing around their house to Murder on the Dance Floor because they didn't understand the premise of the film. And they think it's like a celebration of look at my house. It's like, no, it's his victory against people like you. That's what he's dancing to.
But it also like makes sense, like why the butler hated him as well and was like really horrible to him, like right from the start. Because I think the butler kind of saw in him, I think the butler was probably in a similar position where he was hoping to, like, you know, inherit a fortune. Yeah.
Often
at some
with
point.
Runny eggs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like that's why the butler took a dislike to him, because I think he kind of saw in him, you know, something of himself, I guess.
I don't know about that, but I think he saw the danger.
He saw the danger. Yeah.
He's not the tosser. He saw someone coming in. He saw like, oh, this guy's eyes have fucking lit up at this house.
Yeah.
He's clearly gonna gargle some cum water, go down on her.
Yeah.
Wank off him. Then disappear for a few years and come back and off air.
That's the whole film described,
I mean, one thing has got to be said, Barry Keoghan gives a great hand job as well.
Yeah.
Spitting all over that.
What's his name in the film?
Oliver.
Something Oliver Quick.
Yeah. Okay. So this makes sense now. I'm just looking up a list of hidden details from the film. So the title song is Zadok the Priest, right? Or Zodok the Priest. Zodak the Priest, sorry. But they don't sing Zodak the Priest. Apparently, right from the get-go, they sing Oliver Quick, Long Live the King. Yeah.
Hmm.
So yeah, they hint at the first film in the beginning. Yeah.
Well, it starts with the end as well, doesn't it? Because it starts like a documentary.
Yeah.
With him saying, "Oh, did I love him? I don't know." And then it cuts into the film.
Yeah.
And he did love him.
He did indeed.
It's kind of like it's like an obsession, isn't it? An obsession does have that kind of mixture of love and hate, and wanting to be that person, but also kind of hating them.
I think it was love right up until rejection, wasn't it? That's when the film turns, really.
Yeah.
He finds out that Oliver's been lying the whole time. He's like, I think it's time you leave, have your party, and then fuck off.
Mm, yeah.
And he realizes, like, I can't have him, no fuckers having him. And then it just escalates quite dramatically.
I think it's the fact that like he wanted to kind of get into their lives and you know live there forever or even inherit the place. But I think yeah, once Felix found out about it, he was kind of left with no. That was his only kind of like choice in trying to take everything.
Yeah,
because so it's partly to do with that rejection, but it's also like, yeah, it kind of forced his hand at that point.
Yeah, because I think he was going to just initially try and get off with the sister and marry in that way. But then Felix says to him, "You leave my sister alone. I had a friend who did that before and I had to get rid of him." So he then backs away from the sister because he's like, okay, that's not going to get me in.
But he would have liked, I think he would have got off with Felix if he could as well.
He definitely was obsessed with Felix, yeah. As we saw with the bathwater.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's why I think, like you said, the tale about the film in a bit of a slow burn, I think, because stuff like that does happen. That's what's obviously causing sort of like the social media boom of it as well. Like, I actually know someone I work with actually watched it tonight, and they kept sending voice notes, like a running commentary. Oh my God, this happened. When they got to the bit with the bath snow, and oh my God, like, why the fuck would someone do that in a film that's disgusting? And that's exactly what the whole point of it was. Like, this stuff like that gets people talking.
If this is too much for you, I can recommend a film about a killer swimming pool.
Well, it's like Steve always says, he'd love for Elizabeth Olsen to piss in his mouth. It's pretty much the same, isn't it?
Absolutely.
We've all got our little things that we'd like to happen.
Yeah. Loads of shit about Theseus and Minotaurs as well that are worth reading up on. They're all online. It's really, really interesting.
So there's a Minotaur in the maze, isn't there, where Felix dies, and that is modelled on Barry Keoghan as well.
Yeah.
So it is very rich with detail.
Like with the antlers as well.
Yeah.
So yeah.
And the dad, I think, was like wasn't he dressed up as the person who meant to have killed the Minotaur?
Yeah.
And he was the only one, well, he obviously knew something was up at the end or knew it was bad to have him around. And kind of got rid of him the only way he knew how.
Do we think money. That Oliver somehow killed him as well?
I don't think so.
No.
I think at that point Oliver thought like the game was up. You know,
he got his money, didn't he, as well?
I guess. He took the money because he's like, there's no way I'm going to be able to stay here. I might as well take something and leave. And then just kept an eye out until dad died so then he can go back in there.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Right. I think the next pod will be in a couple of weeks when we should be talking about the films we're going to see at cinema, which are Poor Things.
Poor Things is booked in.
Yep. And more excitingly, hopefully, The Beekeeper, which is the one I'm definitely the most excited about.
Yeah, I'm buzzing for this one.
Hey! guarantee he's going to make that joke.
Oh, yeah.
Someone's going to die by bees as well in this film.
And he's going to talk about something being the bee's knees.
The bee's knees, yep, definitely. Yeah. He's got a sting in his tail.
Oh. But like from that synopsis, he was in like obviously in some secret government covert group and they apparently called the beekeepers. And then he's just gone, you know what? Sounds good. I'll actually become a beekeeper.
I quite like the sound of that. I quite like the word beekeeper. So I'm now going to become a beekeeper. I'm going to read the synopsis that you sent out, Terry, because it is hilarious and it is incredible.
It's everything you want.
Okay, read it. Yeah. Read it out now.
Yeah. Adam Clay, Jason Statham, lives a quiet life as a beekeeper. Secretly, he is a retired operative from a mysterious off-the-books government agency known as Beekeepers. When an elderly friend dies by suicide after being scammed, Clay vows revenge on the scammers, a bloody mission that takes him all the way to the top.
So he's going after cold callers.
Yeah.
He's off to Nigeria to find that businessman.
He's an environmentalist going after cold callers. I don't think I've ever found a more relatable Jason Statham character than this one. I like it. I'm very excited.
Classic action movie synopsis.
He's going all the way to the top. Yeah, yeah.
It's like a Steven Seagal movie synopsis.
But good.
Has everyone seen that clip of him fighting?
I've not seen any clips or anything from it yet.
He's a big guy.
I've seen another one recently where like someone said even his love scenes are lazy. And it is just hilarious.
Oh, we're talking about Steven Seagal. Sorry, I thought we were talking about Stath.
Oh, no. Stath's love scenes. Exhausting. For me.
Do you remember that scene of him in Crank where he just bangs his missus on the street?
Yes. Fucking love that film. So right. It's so stupid.
Yeah. Love it. That was what really kicked him off as like a proper action hero. It was, he'd done bits and pieces, but that was like, I feel like that was his first like lead man, does what it says on the tin action film. Chev Chelios. Yeah.
Transporter.
Chev Chelios, that's it, yeah.
Transporter was
before that, I think.
I didn't really like Transporter, but Crank was amazing.
Should we do a top five Jason Statham films?
I'm not sure if I've watched five Jason Statham films.
Are we going to amalgamate those that have expendable... Maybe characters, because you're going to have like Lee Christmas, the Transporter.
Terry Leather.
Chev Chelios, yeah.
He's got some of the best
The
names.
Monk.
Yeah.
The Monk, yeah. From, yeah.
Fucking I could do love top Mean five Machine. Stave.
Yeah, so do I. Yeah, I think we could do top five Stave.
Yeah, maybe we'll put it in the works. Force Dan to watch a load of Jason Statham films, maybe, to force him.
Oh, lucky, please don't. I don't.
Lucky Dan gets to watch a load of Jason Statham films. Yeah. Right. Well, I think we're going to call it a night there. If you want to contact us, hit us up. TMTOOH. It's on Twitter and also on Instagram. And come join the Discord where we talk movies a lot. So, yes. It's
Have you joined Letterboxd yet, Dan?
No. I should do, shouldn't I? Oh, we didn't give Night Swim a rating.
I gave it two.
Ooh. I gave it two as well.
Two sounds about right, yeah. Two from me as well.
Yeah.
Dan? Yeah.
Yeah, two. Yeah. Two out of five.
Yeah. And Saltburn's a 3.5 for me. Maybe.
I need to watch it again, I think.
Maybe a four.
Three.
I'll give it a four.
Four's an eight, isn't it? Yeah. Four,
Watch it. You can get it on Amazon Prime.
Yep.
Yeah.
No excuses. Go watch it. Right. Yeah. Next time, Beekeeper. Poor Things. And whatever else we managed to cram in there.
The bear.
Oh, we're going to talk about the bear next time as well. So by that point.
I have finished the bear, by the way.
Have you?
No, you finished it.
Yes.
Good lad.
Do we want to talk about it now? Do we want to just shoehorn it in now?
Well, let's thumb it in.
Should we thumb it in? Got time for that? Or do you want to save it? So we can like go into it deep. I'm up. Yeah.
We could save it for next time.
Yeah. Okay. We're going to talk The Bear seasons 1 and 2 next time. Just quickly, Dan, did you like it?
Oh, of course. It was amazing.
Yeah. Great. Right.
Yeah. Like it's one of those things you've been going on about it for like the past year. And I started to understand how like some other people you know feel when you keep recommending Escape Expanse to them.
Yeah, weird, right? How like, people don't fucking watch
like,
that show.
I like no, but I knew it was probably going to be good, but I was just like, oh, can I bother to watch it?
The best thing about The Bear is
I'm actually happy I did.
You can bang it out quite quickly.
It's the kind of thing I think I'm going to watch. It's the kind of thing I'd probably watch again and again. It's quite easy to watch. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Right, well,
And how did you feel after the Christmas episode?
I felt
blood pressure.
It wasn't bad actually. I the last episode was one that got me the most emotionally.
The,
I think.
Yeah, the humor of the Christmas episode kind of carries it through.
Yeah, like the Christmas episode was fantastic, amazing episode.
Yeah, just we'll get into it, but so just, many cameos.
Yeah, just chaotic, but yeah.
Right. Well, next episode. We'll talk about The Bear. We'll talk about Night Swim. We'll talk about Beekeeper and we'll talk about Poor Things. Thank you for listening. If there's any films we should watch, if you've got any recommendations, send them to us. We might watch them. I'm not saying we definitely will, but we might.
Ideally on free platforms.
Yep. That would be the best. Yeah. Thank you very much. And thanks, guys.
Bye. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And please always take your empty packaging, your drinks, take it out with you. Save someone a job.
Is this a subtle dig at one of us?
Dan, Jesus Christ.
What did you say, sorry?
You spilled the popcorn about 17 times in Aquaman.
That was ridiculous.
Is this like a passive-aggressive dig at one of us for leaving something last time?
No, it's not. I'm telling people listening to this podcast, take your shit out with you.
Okay, so it's just passive-aggressive
and Amber
to
Heard,
listeners.
Don't do it in the bed.
Yeah. Directly on the chest. That's as God intended.
And then sit on it and rub it in.
Exactly. Anyway, with that, thank you very much and goodbye.
All right.
Oh, no, I'm going to leave all this shit in. I had a really snazzy outro. Hang on, I'll do that as well, which is, and cinema will continue in the next episode.
Ooh.
There we go. Yeah, I'll work on it.